All right, so this morning, you don't have to look at me all morning. You get to look at Miss Lindsay. I'm excited. You ready?
Before I start, I'm not going to do a children's sermon this month because this took it out of me. So, Silas had a birthday. I'm going to come get you a present. Happy birthday, baby. How old are you?
Nine.
Nine. Wow. Growing up. Okay, so good morning. I am Lindsay Smith, and I'm the children's minister here at Elston. My husband, Ben, is one of the elders, and we also lead a small group. I am a stay-at-home mom with our three kids, and we are homeschoolers. Homeschooling was... Oh, you gotta go sit down with Daddy. No. Yes, you can do maps, can't Ben. Okay. Homeschooling was not on my radar. It kind of happened to us, but it's been a blessing to be able to have that time with my kids. So when I was preparing for today and trying to decide what I was going to share, I decided I was going to share some of my testimony. I don't know about you guys, but with my testimony, I feel like there's so many testimonies. Like, it's like a chapter book. Like, there's all these chapters of what God's done in my life. But if I shared the whole chapter book with you, we would be here all day. So I am going to share with you what led me to leading the children's ministry here at Elston, and that is the story of my son, Camden. And I'm not going to cry. I already started. Okay. So I'll go back a little bit. My family left a large church that we had been a part of my whole life when I was in high school, and we started attending Elston. My dad and Randy actually go way back, and they were in a band together. With Deb and my Uncle Steve, I think in like the 70s. One time when we were kids, we went to the library downtown and they had a cassette tape from the band, and we were so excited. We checked it out and we took it home and we listened to it. It's probably not there anymore, but we were so excited. So yeah, it was cool. So anyway, I was thinking how funny would it be if we like flashed a photo, but I don't have a photo of that. But anyway, where was I? Okay. After high school, I got a degree in early childhood education, and I left the church daycare that I had been working at, and I started working here at Elston at the daycare that we had here. I cannot explain how much I loved working here. The women here were just different, and it was sometimes it's hard to work with all women. Like, women can be catty, don't get along, but we loved each other, and that was such a special time. During that time, I met my husband, Ben, and he was finishing his engineering degree at Purdue. So when he graduated, then we got married that August. And a few years later, we were expecting our first son, Camden. So at my 20-week ultrasound, we were really excited to discover if we were going to have a boy or a girl. But we also learned that our unborn baby had heart complications. So that day began a journey into heart disease that we had never imagined. After that appointment, I started having monthly fetal echoes at St. Vincent's at the Women's Center in Indianapolis. So we learned that he had something called a ventricle septal defect, or a VSD, and he also had aortic stenosis. So, like I said, I was a preschool teacher, and my husband was an engineer, and so these were big words that we had no idea what they meant. So we learned that the VSD was a large hole in the wall between the lower chambers of the heart, and aortic stenosis is a narrowing in the aortic valve. So the doctors had no way of knowing how this would affect him when he was born. So the plan was that I would be induced at 39 weeks in Indianapolis. I would deliver in an OR, even though I wasn't having a C-section, and that was connected to a room that was connected to the NICU. So as soon as Camden was born, they held him up, there he is, and they took him away. And they took him to the room, and they evaluated his breathing and his heart, and just to make sure he could even breathe on his own. And so to decide whether, you know, he needed any breathing support or if he would need surgery immediately. If I'm being honest, this was one of the most challenging times in my faith walk. I had this feeling like, God, do you realize who you're doing this to? Like, it's me. You know me. I've loved you and served you my whole life, and this is what you're going to do after I have dedicated my whole adult life to other people's kids? This is happening to my child? But this is where I started to learn and started to understand about suffering and hardship. So 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13 says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world." So up to this point, I think I sort of felt like being a Christian exempt you from trials or kept you away from trials, but that's not the truth. We have this tendency to run from suffering and to avoid it, but really we need to walk through it just as Jesus walked through it, and he was perfect and blameless, so who are we to have no suffering? So on March 21st, 2017, Camden was born. He spent a week in the NICU. Then when he was 8 weeks old, he had his first surgery. So this was a pulmonary artery banding surgery. So what they did was they made an incision in his side and they separated his ribs. They partially collapsed his lung and they placed a band on his pulmonary artery. So you have your pulmonary artery and then your aortic side, and so it's like in and out. So the way they explain it to us is like the heart's just like plumbing, you know. A cardiologist is basically a plumber for your body. And if things aren't even going in and out evenly, that causes issues. So, because one side was narrow and one side wasn't, they had to even out the flow. And so this surgery was just to buy us time so he could get a little bit bigger and grow a little bit before he had open heart surgery to repair the VSD. So after that surgery, the next year, it just felt like we kind of lived in limbo. We had no idea when the surgery was going to be. We just had to see how he was doing. So I spent my days taking care of him, keeping track of his medications, when he ate, how much he ate, taking him to a lot of doctor's appointments and physical therapy appointments. At 15 months old, the day finally came and he had his big surgery. I don't know if any of you have ever had your kid have any kind of surgery, but just knowing what they had to do to him and then hand him to this doctor and be like, yeah, sure. That was really brutal and really difficult. So the surgery took between 3 to 4 hours, and they had this really large TV in the waiting room, and every patient had a number, and so we knew what his number was, and it would just scroll through, because there's all these surgeries going on. It would scroll through, and you could see what was going on the surgery. And I remember for about an hour, it said on bypass. And so that means that he is on a bypass machine. So what that is they stop his heart, and the machine is what's making the blood flow through his body. His heart's not pumping. And so then that was when they placed the patch on. So they placed the patch on the VSD, and they removed the pulmonary artery band. So, you know, that was the longest hour of my life, sitting there watching him on bypass and waiting for it to be over. Then the doctor came out, Dr. Rodefeld, who is an angel, and they took us to a room, and he said, I remember his voice, he said, "Everything went exactly how I wanted it to." Like, he was just, if you ever need a surgeon, he's like so calm and peaceful, he was perfect. He also told us that when they performed the surgery, the VSD was the size of a dime. And so, I don't know. I mean, you think of a baby's heart's this big and a dime is this big. That's huge. He also said that it had been trying to repair itself, but he said it looks like when you look through the trees in a forest and they're like, you know, you could see through it still. So it was trying to repair itself, but it couldn't quite do it. So after the surgery, we spent a few days in the hospital, and then he went home. I remember that day, it was 5 days post open heart surgery, and we were at home. We lived in New Richmond then, and we were in a playroom, and he was just like crawling around, climbing up on things, like nothing had happened to him. And it was just like my body felt lighter. Like, I didn't realize how heavy it was. And I literally felt like I wasn't carrying it anymore. So after we got through all that, we decided, why not have another baby? Sure. We got through that. Not a big deal. So in June of 2019, we welcomed Lincoln into our family. And if you've never had a conversation with Lincoln, I recommend it. He is funny and observant, and he loves to learn. He's fun to talk to. About the time that Lincoln was born, we started feeling like Camden wasn't developing typically. It was confusing and hard for us to understand because he was like 2 years old and he would alphabetize flashcards, but he couldn't talk. And then when he started talking, when he was like three, he couldn't answer questions or carry on a conversation, but he could read. And so that was really confusing. So we had him evaluated, and right after his third birthday, he was diagnosed with autism. So this was another challenging time for me because it felt like, okay, like enough is enough. Why is one person dealing with so many obstacles? I remember one day I was driving and I was by myself and I was like crying and praying and asking God, like, why is this happening? What are you doing? I had been so focused on all the things that he might never do in his life. But I felt the Lord impress on my heart that none of that matters. So like, if my son never plays sports, it doesn't matter. If he never learns how to drive, it doesn't matter. If he lives with me the rest of his life, it doesn't matter. His salvation and my salvation don't like hinge upon these things. All that matters is Christ. All that matters is that I spend my life teaching him who Jesus is and helping him understand who Jesus is and how to have a relationship with him. I read something that said, I follow this like raising autistic disciples page on social media, and it said it would be out of character for a good and just God to create somebody who couldn't know him. And I really believe that. I believe God would never create somebody who there was no way for them to know him. And so that was when a shift in my parenting and a shift in my perspective happened. So after the pandemic, when the church was, you know, slowly opening back up children's church, Lisa asked me if I wanted to run the babies through the preschoolers children's ministry, and I said yes. I wanted my kids to have that experience of learning about God in church with their peers, their age, and wanted all the kids here to have that too. In July of 2022, we welcomed our daughter Nora into our family. I had to convince my husband that that was a good idea, but obviously I was right. she's beautiful and she's funny. I didn't write this down, but I actually had a dream about Nora when I was pregnant with her. It was like the day before we were going to find out if we were having a boy or a girl, and I had told myself, like, it's just going to be a boy, you're a boy mom, and that's fine, and the boys are great, and it's fine. And then I had this dream that we were in my bathroom, and well, the kid's bathroom, and she was on the step stool, and I was brushing her hair. If you've seen her hair, she has so much hair, and she would not stop talking in my dream, and I'm just brushing her hair, and she's just talking, and like, then I was like crushed, because I was like, that's so mean that I had that dream and we're just going to have a boy because now I want a girl. And so, and I hadn't cared up until then. And so then the next day we found out that she was a girl. But it's just crazy because she does have long hair and she never stops talking. She does not ever stop talking. where was I? So at that time, Jean and Diane graciously took on the grade school ministry because I had too much on my plate with a baby and homeschooling, and I was watching kids in my home at that time. So a few years later, when Nora was a little bit older and the church was able to give me a small salary, I was able to stop watching kids in my home and take on the whole children's ministry, and so that brings us here today. So as I've grown in my role as a children's minister, I started thinking about, you know, the purpose of our ministry and the direction that we wanted to go. That led me to you know, creating a new logo and a new mission statement. So if any of the kids want to come up, we're going to do the logo here in a second. If any kids want to come up and sit closer so you can see it better, you're welcome to come up. You guys, yeah, go ahead. You can sit wherever you want. You can sit on the chairs too if you need to. Okay, Fred, go ahead and put that up there. So our new logo is the flock. And so the idea is that we are shepherding our kids to know the Lord. And so the next slide shows the Bible verse. It says 1 Peter 5:2, care for the flock that God entrusted to you. And then the next slide shows our mission statement, which is, the flock strives to create a safe and fun environment. All children who enter our building have an opportunity to hear the gospel message through developmentally appropriate lessons. These lessons help to lay a biblical foundation to lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So our role in the flock is we're laying the groundwork, we're teaching them about the Bible and who God is, so that as they grow, they can grow in knowledge and understanding also. So the logo itself, so each one of those three sheep represents one of our classes that we have in the back. So the next one shows the first age group is the lambs. So these are the babies through toddlers. So the other lambs. At this age, they're mostly focused on not crying and being able to stay in class. So separating from parents is hard at that age, and that's normal. It's appropriate. So that's our main focus. They do have a snack and a story and a coloring page. This group currently really likes Play-Doh and bubbles, too. So our next group is the yearlings, and this is preschool through kindergarten. So this group is really starting to learn more about sitting still, reading the story, working on activity pages, crafts, and games. And then the last group that we have is the sheep, and this is first through fifth grade. This group is older, so they're able to dig a little bit deeper. Our curriculum right now, I really love it because it takes every story, no matter where it is in the Bible, and it directs it back to Jesus and to salvation. In the future, I'm hoping to work on more memory verses with this class and maybe convincing them to get up here and do some things on stage too. So these age groups aren't set in stone. Like the mission statement says, we want to keep each child in a class that's appropriate for them. So if we have a child who's bored and they're ready to move up early, that's fine. Or if we have somebody who needs a little bit more time in class, that's fine too. They can move up whenever they're ready. So a big group I feel like that isn't necessarily represented as a whole here is kids with special needs. And as I shared, my son has special needs. So I know how important it is for these families to have a community and a support system. And so I just want to say that every child, no matter their ability, is welcome here in the flock, and we want you here, and we are happy to have you here. We're a team. We can work together. So I've done things in the past, like this is Camden's social story. I've made these for a few other kids, too, and it just helps them understand the structure of class. So it just says, you know, I go to children's church. I learned about God. And then it says, first we sing songs in the sanctuary, then I go to class. So it just goes step by step and helps them understand the structure. This took me maybe 30 minutes to make that. And I feel like if this can help a child, then it's 30 minutes well spent. I also bought some noise-canceling headphones, and they're in the back on the desk. If you need them for your child, you're welcome to borrow them and then put them back when you're done. So to the parents, I just want you to know that I am your children's minister. I'm here to help. I'm here to listen to you, pray with you, and support you however you need me. And then last, I kind of want to give a charge to the church body. So if you keep reading on the next slide, if you continue, 1 Peter 5:2, it says, care for the flock that God entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. So I know that sometimes when you're serving in children's ministry, it feels like you're separated from church, but you're not. The flock is an extension of the church, and it's still church. So when you serve in the back, you haven't left church. You're still here. What happens in the flock is just as important as what happens out here on a Sunday morning. So I really want to challenge you, if you're not serving in the children's ministry, to think about why. Are you just telling yourself, you know, that's not me, I can't do that? Because I think we all can. I think we're all, you know, called to help out in some way. So we are all responsible for the flock that we have. And so we're all responsible for teaching them and bringing them to a saving knowledge of Christ. So just really think about how you can contribute to making that a reality. So every Sunday, we have a combination of 7 adults and 7 teenagers who work in the back. During the week, I come in ahead of time and I prep all of the lessons. I refill the snacks. I organize the toys. I really just set you up for success on a Sunday morning. So if you have any questions about teaching or running the sign-in desk during church, come see me, and I'd love to talk to you about it. Okay.